You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So, in the past, some Christian missionaries were indeed associated with colonial powers and were perceived as imposing their religion and culture on indigenous populations, often with harmful consequences. So, this historical phenomenon is often referred to as colonialism and missionary colonialism, right? And today we are unpacking that with Pastor Kanga. We're speaking about all things Christian colonialism. Hey, Fundis, Murubwanji. I am good, Mfundisi, and how are you?
I'm good.
I'm really praying that one day when I greet, I will be able to respond back. I'm learning, Mfundisi.
You're actually doing a great job.
10 marks for me. Thank you so much, Mfundisi, for agreeing to come speak to us about this contentious topic here, because it can be a bit controversial in a way, but it's okay, we're gonna be okay. So I'm gonna ask Pastor that, can you please pray that the Holy Spirit guide us in this conversation?
Thank you so much. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, this morning we'd love to uplift your holy name. We want to thank you for this opportunity that you have given unto us to speak on this crucial and yet debatable subject. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you may lead us throughout through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be with our presenter and be with our radio host. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we're speaking about all things colonialism. It can be quite tricky. But we're going to make it through. So looking at it, we have, I once had a conversation in Fundiswami with someone very dear to me. And she was like, no, but why are you a Christian? Why do you even believe in this God that came in a boat? You know, this your God that you're saying you believe in, you know, came with the white men and stuff. I'm like, that's not it, you know. And they wanted to bring up scripture. I was like, whoa. I'm not part of that, but I know today if they come at me, Pastor would have helped me, you know, to defend my belief there. But does God promote colonialism for this one?
God does not, and he will not, because the Bible actually says that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if he never promoted colonialism then in the back days, then he cannot now. Now, why do I say so? I believe that this question is actually framed around what was happening in Israel back then, when Israel was taken captive by either Egypt, the Babylonians, and Assyria. And when you read through those pages, one might actually think that God was actually behind the captivity of the chosen nation that was Israel. But let me just remind you that, do you know that, especially with Egypt, if I can just cite an example, do you know that the Israelites actually took themselves to Egypt? So what happened is that there was actually a famine in Israel, and there was no food. If you remember through, again, that is actually recorded, should be in Exodus 1, verses 1 to 14, where the brothers sell Joseph, and Joseph goes to be the prime minister in Egypt, and there was a famine in Israel. And when Jacob actually realized that they are going to die of hunger, he decided to send his children to go and buy food in Egypt. But when they arrived there, guess whom they found? They discovered that their brother, whom they had sold in slavery, was actually the one in charge of the food basket in Egypt. And when this news actually reached Jacob, who was their father, he decided to bring them to Egypt to stay until the famine was over. But did they go back? No, they actually overstayed their welcome in Egypt until they began to multiply and they became a powerful nation within a nation. No wonder when the Pharaoh, who never knew who Joseph was, came on the scene, began now to persecute them because they were becoming too powerful for the nation of Egypt. Now, what about in Babylon and Assyria? If you read through in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 15 to 7, you actually discover and concur with the Bible that God actually gave them warnings.
Okay.
And he sent them messengers rising up early and sending them because he had compassion over his people. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible actually says, and the Lord God of their father sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them because he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. Verse 16 actually said, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words and scoffed at his prophet until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no more remedy left for them. Therefore, he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans who killed their young with a sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion on the man or virgin or the aged or his weak. He gave them all into his hand. So we look at two scenarios. One, the Israelites take themselves to Egypt, and the other one, because they disobeyed the commandments of God, God had to punish them by sending the king of the Chaldeans to take them captive. So it is not because God actually allowed them to or maybe brought about colonialism. He did not promote it, but it is the sinfulness of the Israelites that actually brought the consequences to themselves, not that God promoted imperialism or colonialism.
So can Mfundisi, I mean, religious conversation, conversions, that come with mission work be considered as colonialism or some form of propaganda? Or, hi guys, it's okay. It doesn't matter who it came from, whom the conversion came from.
I would actually say not at all. In fact, our work is actually based on mission work. I get this from Matthew 28, verses 19, and there is actually a command there, go ye therefore and make all disciples of all men. But the conversion that comes in such a way, is it colonialism? I say no, it is not. Why? Because if I read through again in Romans 1, verses 16 to 17, the Bible actually says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, despite the boat through which it came, the sole purpose of God was to bring about salvation to everyone who believed. We understand that us human beings are corrupt and we are vile in nature. And the means by which it came, the word of God, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Regardless of if you are Africans, you are a Jew, you are a white man, the Bible actually says he brought life in abundance according to John 10:10, including the oppressors or the colonizers. They too need the salvation that comes from God.
For this, there is this theory. I don't know. Well, we've seen it in certain movies and series and stuff, but even when we're conversing with people, you know, it does come through that when the missionaries would come to a particular country or particular region of the world, then they would find their practices, you know, and then they would label such practices as pagan. They would label some of them as barbaric. They would, you know, they would do a lot of things which in a way suppressed what the local people actually used to believe. And then now they have changed that. We can also bring in the issue of dress, where now everything has changed. You know, is that true that even, yes, they were bringing the message of God, as God said, that go ye therefore, right? But in a way, people were suppressed.
Unfortunately, that is true. It is actually true. Now, I would try to attempt to answer that question in two ways. One, I would actually look at the missionary perspective and also the biblical perspective. Let me start with the missionary perspective. Now, during colonialism, Western nations actually took our land, our artifacts, and our resources from other regions, and they also forced their languages and cultures on them. For instance, Europeans were actually very lethal in this because they brought their culture wherever they went, be it America, Australia, and here, parts of Africa and Asia. They started from the beginning, and this is actually recorded if you just read through the annals of history, that from the 16th century, this is when this vice was actually perpetrated. Now, the most popular argument that they peddled was that the white man's, they used to call it the white man's burden. So this is a thing that it stated that it was the duty of the superior white race to civilize and elevate the inferior races. Because when they came here in Africa, everything that Africans used to do, talk about the way of life, even the worship kind of system, our language, they considered it to be an inferior kind to theirs. So they thought within themselves that it is our burden as a superior race to bring about civilization. Now, how did they brought about this civilization? They began to suppress our language. They began to suppress our culture. Which, in its own way, our culture was not bad.
It's very inferior. Good. It's very good.
Yeah, so that is actually what happened. Colonialism was seen. There are actually arguments to and for colonialism. To others, this it seems to be the best way that brought about civilization, both on the social, economical, and political progress to backward people like those that live here in Africa. But we also have some critics. Because if we look at the negative things that colonialism brought or impacted our people, it was actually a morally wrong and oppressive system that had colonized people and their society. Colonizers suppressed our cultures, our language, took our land and exploited economies. Oppressed us politically and created a system of racial and social inequalities. Now, that is from a missionary point of view. I told you that I was going to look at it from
two
angles. Now, yes. What about the Bible? What does it say? Let me give an example of Paul. Paul, according to Acts 17, verses 16 to 34, Paul is actually in Athens. Then he discovered that the whole city was actually filled with idols. It was actually filled with idols. So his spirit actually was provoked. So he began to reason with them in the synagogues, with the Jews and the devout person, and also in the marketplaces, saying, this idols that you worship? Do you even know them? Because others were actually labeled to the unknown gods. So he began to explain to them that, in fact, this unknown gods is the God of heaven who created everything.
Mm.
And of course, the people, the leaders of the church became aggressive, saying that he began to talk about or to teach about things that were alien to them. Now, look at the strategy that Paul used. Here, it is not recorded anywhere that he attacked their culture. No. Neither did he attack their language.
Mm-hmm.
No. But he actually brought and lifted God, Jesus Christ, as the primary factor of salvation.
Okay.
This should have been the motive. This should have been the strategy that the missionaries actually should have brought. Now, it is only some, not all of them. It is only some.
Mm.
So here, actually, Paul promoted Jesus Christ to the core because he looked at, you are worshiping a different God who you don't even know yourself. But this God that you worship, do you know that he created everything?
Mm.
So even to our present age, our core is to promote God.
Yes.
And to bring about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, if you read through even in there are what are called the prison episodes, which are Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians, that is the theme and the strategy that actually Paul brought and taught. He only brought about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. This is what we needed.
Mm. Looking at it, I know that a lot of countries in Pundiswami, they have received their independence, right? I think almost every country, most especially looking in Africa. But when we're looking at some of the things that are still happening in the world, so can colonialism in our modern world be attributed to how things happen in the Bible? If someone were like, you mentioned the issue of Paul, you mentioned giving us a lot of examples, but like, this is still happening. So can we attribute some of those colonialism things to the Bible, or we can't because God, as you have said, does not support colonialism?
We cannot, because colonialism has actually no place in the Bible.
Mm.
And it will never have its place. Now, let me take you back again to the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What was God's ideal form of leadership?
Yeah.
Now, if you read through, God actually came to the Israelites, and the kind of government that existed by then, it was a theocracy kind of leadership,
mm-hmm.
where God himself ruled his people.
Mm-hmm.
But as the Israelites saw other nations that were surrounding them, they had kings. They came to someone and said, we need a king. We don't want this God that we also need to be like other nations. Give us a king. As this is actually recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 8 there. They came to Samuel, give us a king. Our neighboring nations have got kings. Why can't we not have kings? This actually brought heartache to Samuel. But when he consulted God, God actually says, let them, they want a king. Please provide a king for them. And we see Saul coming in as the first king of Israel. But that in itself had its own consequences.
Mm.
God does not desire or did not desire men to be ruled by fellow men because we are corrupt beings.
Mm.
But despite this, God was so merciful that he sent them warnings. If you read Chronicles 36, verses 15 to 7, God actually sent them warnings that if you neglect this, then these consequences will actually come your way. But then they never heed to the messengers that were sent to them. But instead, they mocked the messengers until God's wrath was kindled against them. So in a nutshell, just to answer the question that colonialism has no place in the Bible. So whatever is happening now is not because it can be attributed to how things happened in the Bible back then, because the ideal form of government was actually the theocracy, where God himself ruled over his own people.
Yeah, indeed. Point is, I believe that today during lunch, I'm going to be sounding very smart when I have conversations about the Bible and colonialism. And it's all thanks to you, Mfundiswami, you know. Because sometimes, you know, when these conversations happen, Mfundis, and you're busy eating your broccoli, then you choke. Because you don't know how to answer. But because Mfundisi today has educated us, you know, I'm very happy today. Please, if you're going to be where I am during lunch, Bon, bring it on. I'm going to be answering you. I'm going to engage with you there. Mfundiswami, thank you for coming through and speaking to us. I'm going to ask that once again, please do close for us in a word of prayer.
All right. Thank you so much. Shall we pray? We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, once more for that opportunity that you had given unto us to look at matters that pertain to thy kingdom, more especially to look at matters that are actually affecting our hearts, the issues of colonialism. Thank you, O God, because through you we have actually realized that colonialism has no place in your kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it is by this that you actually loved it, that you be our ruler, that we may love one another and not looking at another person to be inferior or better than the other. We are all created the same in your image. May your love begin and may it continue to reign in our hearts. For this we pray in Jesus' name, even as we ask that you may bless the listeners. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for joining us. And may you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.